My name's Tony, by the way. Nice to see you all. Good to see you. And I hope you're enjoying the 10:30 start. Yeah. I enjoyed it this morning. I said to Jenny, bye. I wasn't still in my pyjamas, just so you know. But anyway, the downside is Jenny's now drinking a cup of tea and stuff like that. But anyway, that's another story. So, you know, I share an office with Johnny, which I can see, you know, I saw the empathy coming my way there. And it's a joy to share an office with Johnny. But one of the highlights of the week is on a Monday morning, well, me, Johnny and Joe, we have a catch up and we'll ask Johnny, what happened yesterday? What happened in Bognor? And it's felt like, and obviously this is second hand, right? So you might want to pull me aside later and tell me the real true story. But basically, Johnny just tells us how great Bognor is going and, you know, numbers, new people coming along. And so it's really thrilling and exciting to hear that, but then to come along and see it, you know. So it's great to be with you this morning. And you probably know the series we're in is called Good News. And I was thinking about that, good news. So first of all, it's good news that Simon and Quinn in particular are sorting out food for the Commission Festival, right? Yeah. That's good news. But in Johnny's case, it was good news that Man United won yesterday. Who cares, really? But anyway, you know, I'll get that out there. But just, I should have put that one at the bottom and then commission food after that. And then other good news, Rocco. That's good news, isn't it, right? It's great to be part of a... And then we say the series is on good news. And I would just want to put it out there. This is the best news. The best news we could ever hear. We hear Liz's story and you'll have a story where God broke into your life. And we were singing, I'm not quick enough with my phone and I didn't have a pen. But I was thinking, we sung that song, you're the highest, you're the greatest. You know, you're over everything. I wish I could have got the phone out because I wanted to say the words to you. One of the songs we sung right at the end. And it's so true, isn't it? We hear about some good news stories, which they are, and we celebrate those, rightly so. But this is the best news ever, the gospel. The gospel is the answer to every situation and every problem in our personal lives, across the nation. You know, we're going to all rush to the polling booths on the 4th of July, something like that. Maybe we are, maybe we're not. The gospel is the answer for this nation. The gospel is the answer for international stuff, what's going on, that you watch the news. Jesus is the answer to all these situations. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, his birth, the perfect life he lived, his sacrificial death, and then his resurrection, what he does is he changes hearts. The government, whether it's this government or the next government, or whether it's organizations, the United Nations, they just shift the goalposts a little bit. But the gospel changes hearts. And that's why we say this is good news. And today we're going to be talking about, the title for today is To the Ends of the Earth. And so when we think of to the ends of the earth, I mean, you can't really go that far, too far without swimming. I don't know where the sea is, but anyway, over there somewhere. This is not the ends of the earth. This is Bognor. Chichester, where I'm from, is not the ends of the earth. But when I think of the title like this, the ends of the earth, what do you think? It's a rhetorical question, because I probably won't know your answers if you fire them out. But I think of like missionary stuff. And maybe you read books about missionaries. Maybe you think, when I ask you, what do you think of the term missionary, you might think it's a time of a bygone era. People like William Carey, the father of modern missions, he was called, went to India. C.T. Studd went to inland China. Gladys Aylward went to China. These people are quite well known. If you don't know them, well, that's all right. Jackie Pullinger went to Hong Kong, did some amazing work. David Livingstone, Africa. Jim and Elizabeth Elliot in Ecuador. You know, these people, when I think of missionaries, my go-to is to some of these names, you know, where books have been written about them. Perhaps you do think it's of a bygone era. And reading out those names might promote that, because if you knew any of these people, they're not people of the last 10 years. They're people long time before that. Maybe you associate missionary work or missionaries with outdated organisations. Maybe you've met someone who's a missionary and therefore written it off because they're just that little bit, a little bit crazy. My own heart towards this sort of thing, missionary work, going to the ends of the earth, well, was exposed about 5 years ago. So I'm all in for the local church, and I'm sure you are too. And that is good. It's absolutely good, but there's more. And it, like I say, my heart was exposed about 5 years ago when the church that I was part of, this young woman come up to me, her name's Nicole, in the church that I was helping to lead. And she said, I really feel God's called me to be a missionary to the Muslim world. And so I listened to her desires, what she had to say and stuff like that. And all the while thinking, why are you doing that? There's loads of Muslims like within 5 miles. You don't need to go anywhere. Stay here. Be part of what we're doing. And, you know, then I had to have meetings with these quite senior people in the organisation that she was going with. And they were being really diligent, wanting to care for her, shape her and train her for this task. And all the while I was thinking, just stay here. You don't need to go anywhere. And I realised I have a very deep conviction about the local church. And I think that's a good one, right? So I'm not changing my whole philosophy here. I absolutely believe in the local church. And a few weeks ago I said in Chichester, the local church is God's plan A. And I do still believe that, and I'll qualify that a bit later. But I realised I had a conviction about the local church. And of course, the local church, the idea is we send. We get sent, and we are those who go as well to destinations where there is no Christian witness. And I soon learned that I was very poorly equipped to help this young girl who wanted to go and do the things God's called her to do. I thought it was pretty remarkable, really, that she would want to do this. And we're going to focus on one verse today. We'll refer to a few others along the way, but this is the key verse, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And when you consider my flawed approach and attitude towards the person who felt the call of God to go to the nations, to go to the Muslim community in far-flung places, well, you could conclude, or at least I concluded, that something wasn't really quite right in my heart. Why was I negative about it? Why was I so insular? Why was it, it's just about the local church? And what I realised then, and as I've worked out over the years since, I'd missed something of the heart of God. And with reference to this verse, I was all in for my Jerusalem, but not really any further. I would have been able to articulate something different, you know, yeah, great, yeah, the ends of the earth. Of course, we sang a great song about that earlier. But I hadn't really caught it, clearly hadn't caught the big picture of God. And we can see from this verse, the call of God on those early disciples was way beyond their district of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem at those days had a population of around 100,000 people. And from 120 disciples in that upper room, that seemed to me, with my sort of, you've already seen my narrow view on things, that's plenty to be getting on with. But the call of God, the word of God, is to the ends of the earth. They were called to a big vision, and therefore, so are you and me. Of course, there's always been the plan of God right throughout the Bible. That wasn't Acts started and suddenly there's this big vision that God has for the world. That's always been in place. The whole earth reached through every generation. God's global purpose to announce the unsearchable riches of Christ to all the peoples of the world. That's always been God's big plan. And this verse and verses like it uncovered my limited view of who God is and what God is about and the big picture, God's big story. And so it's easy, as I've just described with myself there, maybe you'll like it, but maybe not, is we can just be focused on ourselves and our own mission, our own call in our generation. It's good to be really focused, absolutely. But let's not lose sight of the big picture of God, what he's about, what he's doing. And right at the outset, God called Abraham and he made him a promise that affects the whole world throughout every generation. And Genesis 12, 1, verses 1 to 3 says this, "The Lord said to Abraham, 'Go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you and I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you.' Through one man, Abraham, all the peoples and the nations of the earth will be blessed." God chose through one man that the blessing of God would come to all the nations. God's plan, the nations through every generation, not just the family, not just the tribe, all peoples throughout every generation. And in Revelation, I'm going to miss out just for the slide reason, we're going to miss out some verses. But let's go to Revelation 5, verse 9. And it says this, "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God.'" Throughout the generations, the nations and people groups ransomed by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb. He died so that we don't have to, not just in a small corner of South England. South is southeast-ish, isn't it? Something like that. You know what I mean. It's not just for us in our little world. It's for the nations. We all sing this new song. We sing a song towards God, all tribes, every tongue. And I need to come back to this time and time again. I love sung worship. The words we sing, sometimes they grip our hearts. They take us from our little world, thinking about me, to the nations and to what God is doing. And yesterday we had this fun day in Chichester, which was brilliant. You know, we had a great time, loads of people coming along, good number of people serving from the church. And I know last week, you know, the Bognor car wash just around the corner here, 30 cars washed, loads of conversations, praying for some people. Brilliant, exciting stuff. And that's what we're called to do. But it's part of a bigger story. It's bigger than us. We're called to do this, but there's more. So when we go about this stuff of reaching the people of Bognor and surrounding areas, but we're also about the nations. We're doing this here, but we're about something far bigger. God's about something far bigger. Our vision is for now, and our vision for Jerusalem, for something in this place, but far greater, and the nations. And I reeled off a few missionaries earlier, and you might have recognized some of the names, you might not have recognized any of the names. And I would just say, you know, if you haven't heard of those, it's good to read about those men and women who've done amazing things in God, because they stir us. Jim Elliot said this, "He is no fool who gives," he was one of the guys I mentioned, "he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." They felt the call of God, whether it's to China or India or somewhere else. They gave themselves to what God called them to. And it is absolutely inspiring to read their stories. And I would urge you, get books on them. Google those names. Speak to others, the people around you who maybe have been around a bit longer, got a few more books on their shelves. Find out about these men and women who really went for it in God. They will whet your appetite for what God can do amongst us and for in you. The last quote from one of these missionaries, C.T. Studd, I really like this quote. And I don't quite know how you fully live it out, but it's a great quote. He says this, "Some want to live within the sound of the church bells. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." I mean, that's a powerful statement. That doesn't mean you have to move to some crazy place. But there's that attitude, right? That I want to reach souls for Jesus. I want to see men and women come to know him. And even amongst us in Grace Church, there's a couple of students who felt the call of God to go on short-term missionary staff, and one's looking to go and do something in more in the long term. And I would say this, it's a bit of an overlooked subject in churches like ours. That's my experience so far anyway. And here at Grace Church, we want to change that. We want to do something different, continue to develop relationships with people who are already out there doing things. Do you remember when Adam Watson came and preached here in January, I think it was, somewhere like that? We want to partner with people like him, organisations like the one he's a part of, develop relationships, be ready to send people to unreached people groups, to other nations, because we're called to more than just the local church. We're called to send people to establish more local churches. Maybe you have that call of God on your life. Maybe when Adam Watson came, you felt stirred. Maybe, excuse me, maybe it's something that was birthed in you decades ago. I love the story of Liz. God moves people around. We want to hear from God and do what God calls us to do. And we want to be a sending church. We really want to do that. Adam Watson was here and stirring us for the nations. Don't despise the call of God on your life, maybe from years ago. Keep praying into it. Maybe a short-term mission trip. Maybe as you get a little bit older, like me, you start thinking, what can I do? I don't want to just go and play golf. Well, I'm rubbish at golf, right? So that would be pointless. But you know what I mean? I want my life to be spent for Jesus wherever he calls me. It might still be in Bognor as I get older, but or Chichester. It could be somewhere else though. I want to be open to what God is calling us to do, calling me to do. Maybe take a year out. Be ready. Be ready. Listen to God. And let's not limit God. Let's allow God to release us into some amazing things. And the next sort of thing I want to look at is, I've put as a title, partnering with the church, partner with the church. But really, that's like us, we're in the church, right? We're not just partnering, we are the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters. And this is how we're going to reach the ends of the earth. And I want us to have a go, this is going to be quite fast, but you'll know most of the story, most of you anyway. And I want us to see how it worked in the early church. What you'll find is there's not a clear and absolute formula. It's not just formulaic. We need to hear God, the direction of the Holy Spirit. And God is the one who orchestrates events, as you would have seen from Liz's story. And as you've seen or would have read in Acts, the disciples were waiting in an upper room, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit. And then they were to be sent out, like that verse, Acts 1 verse 8, to the ends of the earth. 120 disciples receiving the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Tongues of fire resting upon them, speaking real languages to Jews from other nations that they, hang on a minute, I can hear them speaking my language. What is this all about? And because of they gathered a crowd and 3,000 added in a day. 3,000 men that was. So that would have been 6,000 or 7,000 probably. Chapter 3 in Acts, Peter heals a man who's lame from birth. And many people saw this and many more believed as a result. It says in Acts 4 verse 4, but many who had heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000 men. Church was being established. The early church is starting to take shape. They had all things in common. There was that moment, Ananias and Sapphira, you know, it was all good, all things in common. And then they lied and they lost their lives. There's a reverent fear. God is not this is not just some game. He's after a people who love him. And then the church was scattered. Persecution came. Stephen, one of the early church leaders, he got martyred for his faith. Loads more got saved as well as a result of that. And persecution came and the church was scattered. As far as Antioch, which was 300 miles away. A long way to go on foot. And now the gospel is reaching non-Jews. And Acts 11:21 says this, and the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So wherever they were going, men and women, and I'm sure children, were coming to Christ, were coming to salvation. the active power of the work of God changing the hearts of people. And there was changing in Antioch, there was changing the hearts of people who had not really heard, didn't really understand or thought about the Old Testament. It was the Greek people. They were steeped in other gods, steeped in philosophy and literature and stuff like that, all about philosophy. But the power of God breaks in and changes lives, and the church is formed. The church at Antioch grew fast. It matured fast. So much so that the people in Jerusalem thought, what's going on? We better send someone to check this out. They send Barnabas along to find out what's happening. And he stays there and trains them and disciples them and teaches them. And he's growing. And he thinks, I need a bit of help. So he goes, sends off to Tarsus and gets Saul to come and join the job. And they're there working on this church. So it's growing. That's the sort of a whistle-stop tour of a fair few chapters in the book of Acts. It's dramatic, exciting, challenging that the man who was the persecutor, Paul, Saul as he was then, he's the one who's caused these people to be distributed right across the region. It's amazing. I've been in this church, Grace Church, for 2.5 years now. And there is something really good about this church. There's loads of things good, but one I'm going to point out is that we're a good church about sending. We've released, I say we, I was no part of it. I'm probably, anyway. But you and the church have released good people, which is a great thing. It's a great sign of maturity, able to send others to do to other stuff, to other churches, looking at something far bigger than just ourselves. And it was like that in the Antioch church. Acts 13, 1-3 says this. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So this church at Antioch was very outward looking, clearly was. And they grasped something of the bigger picture of God, bigger picture of reaching the ends of the earth. Compare that to my story of Nicole, who I was saying, no, you don't have to go anywhere, just stay inside the M25, it'll all be good. I don't know how I would have got on there in that church. But anyway, Saul and Barnabas were sent by the local church. And this is, so when we think about missionary stuff, the ends of the earth, it's really easy to switch off and go, well, that's not me. I've got a mortgage, I've got kids, or I've got a job that I can't leave, or it's just not going to happen for me. The church were involved in this. It wasn't about anything like an edict from the central organization, but from the local church. They were worshipping the Lord, it says, and fasting. They were hungry for God. And when we're hungry for God, when we put ourselves in the path of God, of course our eyes are lifted up. That happens in our worship, doesn't it? You go, everything comes into perspective. Oh, all those troubles, God, you're who you say you are. I'm worshipping you. When we're in God's presence, our eyes are lifted up and we see more of the picture of God. Our desires get relegated. His heart becomes more our heart. And they were together, the church at Antioch, seeking after God. And I would just encourage you, don't miss those times. Don't miss those times when we can come together and seek after God and hear him speak to us. They fasted. They were serious. It doesn't say why they were gathered. Maybe it was part of their regular practice. Maybe they were seeking God for the next move. What are we going to do? Whatever the reason, it was while they were together worshipping the Lord. And they hear God's call. The Holy Spirit speaks to them as a church. Set apart Barnabas and Saul. It doesn't say how the Holy Spirit spoke, but it's clear this is a big church moment. And I want to encourage you, and you probably know this, a lot of you, we're a word and spirit church. Mel said that earlier. And some of the big decisions in Grace Church that I've come to understand and heard is when God speaks, God has brought a prophetic word And the church has pivoted on that point. It's been weighed by the elders. It's been weighed by the congregation. And then we've acted upon it. It's brilliant when that happens. And we can easily forget that. And we need the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us and direct us, direct Grace Church, because God is about the nations. Prophetic words come to us as elders. Sometimes someone will email in. Prophetic words come in gatherings like this. They come when we have a all-together gathering. They come when we have a come and worship, the prayer meeting coming up. God comes and speaks to us. I don't know about you, but I want the prophetic. I want to hear from God. And as I said earlier, I'm really about the local, but I want to hear from God, and God does speak. And, you know, you've got to understand, God is kind to us, right? He's always good to us. And over a weekend in 2017, I was serving at a 20s conference, because obviously that was the only way I was ever going to get in, and there were some good speakers. And God spoke to me. So this woman got up to preach, and God spoke to me about moving. Now, it was 4 miles away, right? So I'm not putting myself in the Antioch mold. But, God spoke. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to tell Jenny this, because obviously she was going to have to come with me. I weren't leaving her behind. And when I was telling Jenny, she said, God spoke to me too. She said, through Abraham, you know, the story of he'll live in a tent and always on the move. We heard from God and we moved. That's what we want to be, a people on the move when God calls us. Not move when we get the ump, not move when we're a bit fed up with whatever's going on, but when God stirs our heart, the Holy Spirit stirs us to go. The Antioch church knew it was time to send their best, to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So after, after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They prayed and fasted some more, is what this verse talks about. They took it seriously, and then they sent them well. It was the Holy Spirit, really, who sent them. The Holy Spirit directing them. But there was this sense of everyone being involved. That is the sort of prayer meeting I'd love to be at. They prayed and commissioned these two men. This was a powerful moment, commissioned to preach the gospel way beyond Antioch, way beyond themselves. And there's this partnership with Saul and Barnabas and the local church. There is a sense of sending our brothers and sisters, sending, releasing, letting go. Clearly God has spoken in this situation. And God might speak to some of us. And let's not resist the call of God, the word of God spoken over our lives. And in letting go, it would have been with sadness. These two blokes had served them, had got to know them, had poured their lives into them. There's a cost, but one worth seeing when we see the bigger picture of what God is doing about the ends of the earth. They would have been like, what's going on with Saul and Barnabas? Give us information. There's a sending, there's a letting go, there's a releasing into the things of God. But it would have been painful as well. It's a bit like if you've got kids and that first day of reception class or something, you know, when the jumper's too long or whatever, you know, you've oversized them, don't you? Obviously, you want it to last at least a year. But you send them off to school and they look back and you look, I mean, this is more of a mum thing, I think, but, you know, you look at one another and you're probably both crying and the teacher whisks them off. They're going to be fine, you know. And there's a longing for that child when they come out. What happened? Was it a great day? Tell me all about it. And there's that sense, I reckon, with the church and with the people who are sent. We want to know what's going on. We want to see what's going on. We want to experience it. We want to pray for you. So when we hear the news of people moving on from Grace Church, we want to pray and support the best we can. To the ends of the earth, and this is really where I want to land it, is a church activity. It's a church moment. In a room like this, there might be one or two, or maybe more, who knows, that go thousands of miles away. But we want to all be part of that. We all want to be a sending church. Don't write yourself off. Too old, too young, as I said earlier. Young kids, mortgage, We can go, however old you are. It's about the call of God, the Holy Spirit coming and moving upon us. And I just want to finish with this, really. We are all missionaries. It's about the ends of the earth, but it is also about Jerusalem. We are all sent on a mission. Some obviously stayed behind in Jerusalem, mostly the leaders actually, but some stayed. But my plea, to me as much as you, is I want to listen to the voice of God. Do what he tells me to do. Play my part, whatever that looks like. Pray my heart out for any of you that go wherever you go. You do the same for me. The verse at the beginning, you receive power. And that's what we need. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from God and we want to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whether it's in Bognor, Chichester or China, wherever we're sent, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to be alert. We need ears that are pricked up to the small, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, you and I, we're missionaries. That means we do stuff. We work alongside people. We do recreation with people. We shop with other people. We do community. And we're to be a witness wherever we are. We're to be those who ask questions of people. I've read some stuff about what do missionaries do. Well, they ask questions. They find out about the local culture. They find out how can I get involved with people. And so whether we're in Jerusalem, in brackets Bognor, or whether we're at the far ends of the earth, the call of God on our lives is to share the good news. As I said right at the beginning, this is really, really good news. And we want to share this good news with as many people as we can, because we want to see this room packed out and we want to see every church full up, don't we? Earlier on, I think it was Mel, something about revival. We sung about revival, didn't we? And I'm longing for that, that God gets all the glory and we have a pick up a vision that is far, far bigger than ourselves.